Joining us now is Mike Reiner.
Oh, here you go.
Looks like he's eating on the air.
What? This is non-disclosure.
Okay. What a surprise. What a surprise.
Going around the horn.
What are you eating?
Almonds.
You talking about that jar of peanuts that I have on the table?
No, I'm talking about almonds.
Where are your almonds?
There's a bag of almonds in there in the kitchen.
Are you dipping?
And some almonds.
Yeah.
I didn't know you dipped.
Been doing it for years.
Did you know this?
He's not dipping.
He's not dipping. He's got something else in his pocket.
He is not.
What is that?
Dipping.
What is the round thing in your pocket?
Those are his rubbers.
It's a dip.
Let's see it.
It's a dip. What is it?
It's a dip.
Siesta Ranch? What kind
it
of dip?
Undercuts the veracity.
Yeah, Siesta Ranch.
Or Fiesta Ranch.
Siesta,
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Icebreaker Mints. That was actually a pretty good acting job by Mike, because he didn't overreact or anything. He just said, yeah, I dip.
And it looked like he had a little something in his lip.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you ever dip?
Never.
But you smoked?
Yeah.
For how many years did you smoke?
You know, you start sporadically when you're a teenager and get in the real thing as you get a little bit older, probably from, I don't know, 17, 18, till I was...
In your 30s?
27.
What made you
26.
Quit? 'Cause that wasn't a time when people were really quitting. I mean, what year would that have been?
When it would have been 1977, early 1977.
See, that's still smoking era.
Yeah.
A lot of smoking.
I don't understand why you quit.
But I was playing in the Playboy Club in St. Louis. And I was sitting in there smoking a cigarette. There was a mirror on the wall across the room. And I kind of looked over at it and said, man, look at that guy smoking. He doesn't look like he should be doing that. And then I realized it was me that
I
was
seeing.
The
man in the mirror.
Yes.
You were not a cool smoker.
So I was looking at the man in the mirror.
Yeah.
You were not a cool smoker.
No, I was not.
You looked awkward.
Asking him to change his ways.
Yeah.
And you just quit. Was it hard for you to quit?
I put it out, and that was it. I've not had one since.
Dang.
Not even wanted one
since. That's impressive.
And how much were you smoking in your
at
the height of it? Like a pack a day?
Probably not quite that much, but enough. I was into it.
God, I can't imagine seeing Mike smoke. That would be so awesome to see you pull one out and fire
I used
up.
To smoke cigars a few years ago, but I haven't done that in a long time either.
Yeah, but that's kind of weird. That's
weird?
It's just
weird
that's
it?
Not real smoking. You got to be a smoker.
Yeah, there's a big difference between being a cigarette smoker and smoking cigars.
See, I'm with Junior. I always thought that the overnight radio, Larry King, having an ashtray going, being in a darkened studio, talking to people across the country overnight, is like the most romantic image in the world to me.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yep. I think
that's why I used to fire up in the ticket studios.
I think the guitarist smoking is pretty. It's a cool look
with it hanging
like
in the lip.
Keith Richards dangles it and plays. I
or
think
do
it's
you
pretty
like
cool.
When he puts it down there on the the end of the day.
Yeah, I think
don't
that's
you
cool
love
too.
Seeing the burn marks on a tele headstock
yeah.
or something like that?
No, I don't.
I think that's cool.
Guitars should be taken better care of than that.
No, they should bear scars and road markings.
Hey, they get those anyway. They don't need artificial ones like burn marks.
Oh, that's not artificial. It's they left it in there a little bit too long.
I don't want anybody on stage smoking.
Why?
Why not?
I don't like that. I feel like it gets in the way of the guitar player. I don't want the lead singer walking around with a cigarette.
Yeah, if they're on stage, I want them focused.
Yeah.
I want them focused on what they're doing.
That helps them focus.
Now, I was never able to leave the cigarette in my mouth while I did anything. That was always a squinch-eyed experience for
me. Yeah, that's always been weird to me to see the guy play golf with the cigarette or a cigar. I've seen the guy with a lit cigar playing golf.
Now, I was always fascinated by, like, my granddad's friends and my great uncles and all this sort of thing that would do everything with a cigarette dangling in their lips and it'd be burning.
Work on an engine.
They were always working on an engine. They'd have the cigarette dangling in their mouth. They'd still be talking. They'd have about 3 inches of ash on the end of the cigarette. It never fell. All that stuff was totally magical to me.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Smoking had a lot of coolness to it.
No doubt.
I'm different than most people because I love the smell of a smoked-in car. I love that smell.
I don't like that.
Hate it.
I don't like
love
that.
Love it, love it, love it.
Yeah, why'd
I think it goes back.
You quit?
Because it's horrible for you. That's why I quit.
But yeah, you knew that before. Mountain of whipped cream, and you still do that.
Yeah, but you know, but you're young, and so you smoke when you're young, and you figure at some point you're going to get to that point where you're going to start doing real damage, and you have to jump off the smoking train. But when you're in your 20s, you know.
You can live forever.
Yeah, you got a touch of immortality at that point. At least you know that you have enough leeway. You have enough padded years there where you can recover.
Right.
But so I had to quit. See, my problem with smoking was that I could never be a casual smoker. And I always envied the people who could, yeah, you know, I have a cigarette maybe, you know, once a day or once a week or, you know, just when I go out drinking two times a month. I was never that person. Like, I was always looking for an excuse to go have a cigarette, even if I didn't want a cigarette, just because it was a built-in excuse to get away from wherever you were and have some solitude and be outside, and I like that.
How many times when we lived at the original ticket compound did you come up to me and ask for $3 so you could go to the Parkett Market and buy a pack of cigarettes?
All the time.
That's the time. I bet I gave you.
Did you ever get any of that money back?
No. I bet I gave you $20,000 in
you
that
did
year.
Not give me $20,000.
I bet he did, too. I bet he did.
Yeah, but I just would always ramp up. I could quit smoking and then say, well, I'll just have one, you know, just this one night with my friends. And then it'd be, hey, let me have another one of them things. And let me have another one of those. And then I was ramped right back up. Same with drinking with me. I could never keep it in check for any huge, long, extended period of time.
Did everybody's parents smoke?
Just mine did not. No.
Mine, both of mine did for a while.
My dad smoked from the time he was 16 until he was in his 70s.
Dang.
And your mom?
And she never smoked.
One of my uncles had to get a cancer kazoo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Tracheostomy.
I believe it's tracheotomy, isn't it?
Tracheotomy is the procedure, and tracheostomy is the actual hole.
It's the kazoo. What's the kazoo?
Why are you laughing?
Once that happened, that pretty much scared my dad out of smoking, and my mom quit sometime later, you know, some years later. She just had it.
See, I didn't blame my dad. I mean, if you smoked for 50 years, how do you possibly stop? Or after 30 years?
Well, my dad did.
People do.
That's impressive.
Yeah, my grandfather quit, too.
He'd been smoking for a long time.
Well, he did, too. Once he started having heart trouble, he stopped smoking.
When he saw the shape that my uncle was in and the way he had to talk and everything like that, you know, he put it down. Yeah. Never picked it back up.
My dad watched his dad smoke himself to death. His dad died in his 50s because he smoked Lucky Strikes.
Unfiltered.
Unfiltered every day. So because of that, my dad never smoked. My mom smoked, but surreptitiously. She would only sneak a cigarette when we were at school or when a friend of hers or my aunt would come over, and they would go on the back patio and smoke one really quickly. But she never let us see her smoke.
How many chicks have you known who were surreptitious smokers?
I'm Sarah.
Like, tried to hide
Sarah
it from you?
No, you're not.
Would only do it in certain situations, like when they're out drinking with some of their girlfriends or something like that.
Yeah, I've known Sarah.
All of them.
There's
some
sort of party, you know, going on where there's another old broad doing it, so she decides she'll torch up too.
Yep.
Kind of want a cigarette.
Old broad doing it. Did you ever have the girl that was a friend who would never buy her own cigarettes because she wasn't a smoker, but would then bum a whole pack off of you, just one at a time? Let me have another one of those. But don't you just buy your own? No, I'm not a smoker.
I don't smoke.
I never had that happen. Huh? I had a few bum one every now and then off of me, but never one right after the other.
All right, George and Craig were never smokers.
No, I tried one. I want to say it was either high school or college. I can't really remember. I just remember the first experience sucking smoke into my lungs and coughing and thinking, why do I want to do this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is awful.
I mean, when you think about it, it's
something you have to teach yourself to like.
It's the stupidest thing in the world.
I had to fight it.
What do you mean?
Because I enjoyed my first couple cigarettes.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's all coming out now.
I just knew it was bad. I just knew I didn't want to get into that habit.
Would you like to see if you could recreate that vibe?
Do you think you could have one cigarette here at the compound and then be okay and not go back to it?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do that.
Do you take the challenge?
Yeah, I mean, I could. I just don't really feel like smoking one. Maybe give me a couple pops, I may feel like smoking
one. Come on, do it for the show.
Yeah.
All right. Tonight, when we start drinking at 5 p.m.
I got to drive home. I don't want to start drinking.
The smoking counteracts the drinking.
I know what he'll do, too. If we give him a cigarette, he will immediately launch into Martin Short's nervous guy character. Mm-hmm. He'll be smoking like that and be nervous.
Yeah, I've been, I don't know, somewhat fascinated by him.
You've always loved smoking.
Smoking humor, too. Like back when you were smoking, you used to smoke around us and go, "What's the matter with you, pink lungs?"
And you laughed at it.
It was funny.
Great.
I was hilarious.
I did all kind of smoking.
Yeah.
Smoking humor. It's great. And now...
It's great.
Now I don't know if any of my friends smoke. I'm trying to think.
Well, I don't think I have any either.
I mean, think about like up at the Ticket. We used to have so many guys that smoked when the station first started.
Anybody smoke?
How many bird dogs smoke?
Pablo smokes a pipe.
He does?
Mm-hmm.
He's a pipe smoker?
But that's about it.
We have one in petty theft that smokes.
Who's that?
And I bring that up because, you know, musicians are notorious for it.
Mm-hmm.
Drums. Mm.
And now people just don't smoke like they used to. It beat me down. I have a...
It did me too.
I have a family member who smokes and likes smoking. And I'm like, it doesn't beat you down, just the smell on your clothes, the
yellow
coming back
hands.
And your fingers smell all smoky. And no, love all of it. And man, it beat me down.
I can't believe I did it now.
Uh-huh.
How about that smoking bit, Bunny Carlos? Drummer for Cheap Trick always had his lit cigarette going. That was funny.
And I really don't understand how athletes, like the old videos of the Tour de France, when sometimes you would see them smoking cigarettes.
You know, I remember reading about that, and they, at the time, their doctors or trainers told them that it was good for the lungs, that it helped expand the lungs.
Oh, man.
How backwards is that?
And I bet...
Baseball, how many pictures of Bobby Bonds or Charlie Huff in the dugout do we see? And they're sitting there burning one.
Yeah. I was just wondering how many baseball players do now compared to 20 or 30 years ago.
I bet almost none.
Yeah.
There was somebody on the Rangers who used to smoke.
Charlie Huff. And Bobby Bonds.
No, I meant like in the 90s when we were...
Kevin Gross?
When the team first started. Yeah. Something like that. And it was so weird to see a baseball player smoking in the locker room, in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Remember the great shots on the sidelines? It'd be an Oklahoma-Nebraska game in the 70s. It'd be a real tense moment, and they'd catch Switzer, and he'd be dragging on a cigarette, taking a drag, and then he'd hide it behind his back.
See?
It's great.
So much greatness surrounding smoking.
Yep.
But once again, no one...
Yes, don't smoke, kids. No, it's not good for you.
That's right. Don't smoke and don't jar.
That's right.
Or drink.
And thank you, Mike, for sounding off about the Garrett stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Well, I'm glad you let me offer my opinions on that.
All right, that's the corner.
I appreciate the forum.
Yes. We always offer you the forum.
Yes. 9:34 on the Ticket. Coming up next, what do we want our last day to look like? Text Nelson to 22126 to win tickets to the AT&T Byron Nelson May 17th through the 20th at Trinity Forest Golf Club in Dallas. We are at the compound. It's our final day here. Corby has now joined us along with Mike from the Hardline. Corby did the Power Hour last night.
Mm-hmm.
We just woke you up with the tuba and the air horn a little while ago. Now that you've had a chance to kind of come out of your cocoon, how are you feeling?
The recalibration process has been hard for me. I'm not going to lie.
Reemerging back into sober society is difficult.
Right. I am now sober 8 hours.
Congratulations.
Hey, congrats, man.
That's great, buddy.
That's awesome.
Your 8-hour chip.
You're on your way, man.
Thank you.
I'll sponsor you.
Oh, good. I appreciate that.
Well, I'm glad you're joining us for this segment because we got into this really early. at 5:35, and it's an interesting topic, and I want to get everybody's idea for their final day. And this is based on the story that we had yesterday of the 104-year-old David Goodall, the Australian, who got tired of celebrating his birthdays. He basically got tired of living at the age of 95 when he lost his driver's license, some of his mobility, his eyesight started to go. He wears a shirt that says aging disgracefully. Mm. And on his birthday, he said, I don't want to keep living. I want to die. And so this story got out and people started donating to this fund to get him to Switzerland for assisted suicide.
I like that.
And that happened a couple of days ago. He went out listening to Ode to Joy cranked up.
What's Ode to Joy?
Okay. Didn't Killer play that? Maybe not.
Did he?
Maybe he did. Anyway, it got me thinking, you have assisted suicide. You've decided to pick this day. What is your final day going to be like? Are you going to sleep in or are you going to get up early? Let's say you 3 o'clock is when they're going to inject you. So what is
every dark?
What does everybody's day look like?
Like at 3 o'clock, no matter what, they're going to inject you.
Yeah, you have
no matter where you are, they will chase you
down, tackle you. No, you have to report to the clinic. You have to report to the clinic at 2:30 and they prep you for 30 minutes and then they inject you.
Huh.
Why do you have to be prepped?
You just do.
Okay.
Just to make sure the needle's sterile and all that.
This is what I came up with. I'm going to wake up, have my favorite drink of all time, freshly squeezed orange juice, bowl of raspberries, waffles, bacon, and grits. At some point, I need to get into the water because that's one of my favorite things is to be in the water either a lake or a pool or something. And maybe have a few relaxing moments in the water. Take a trip around the lake one more time. Maybe fish.
In Old Blue.
Maybe Old Blue. I don't think I'm going to play golf. I've played enough golf already, I think. I don't need to play another round.
Well, are we talking about...
We're old. No.
So it's not just like today, current day where...
Yeah, you're going to be like 95, or like this guy, 95 or 100. You can kind of get around, but not like today.
You can get around on stilts. But that's the only way that you can...
It's a weird form of transportation.
And by the way, this is all what you want to do. Like, this came up earlier. You don't have to say 3 hours worth of goodbyes.
Yeah, I've already said my goodbyes to everybody the day before.
That's the previous
day. My family and
friends. It's just what you want to do.
And there's stilts with Uncle Sam pants, too. So you're like 10 feet tall.
All right, so you take a lap around.
So you're all by yourself doing this?
Yeah, I think so. I may have to have maybe a driver take me around the lake. I may not be able to turn the steering wheel very well.
Andrew can do that for you.
And then I check myself into that place, watch Super Bowl XII, put it on side two of Reach the Beach, and then I'll have Gordo inject me.
Gosh, all that is so dark.
Side two of Reach the Beach would be it, huh?
Yeah.
It's just so dark. Yeah. So you notice nowhere in there does he mention his family.
I said the day before.
But your last day, you want no part of them.
No, that's not true.
That's I don't want them
to
be
he's
sad.
He's already done that.
I've already said my goodbyes to him. And, well, before we change the scenario, yes, they're very involved. I have them placing me in a boat, naming me at the dam, and putting the throttle down.
Would you let them inject you?
No, I don't want to put that burden on
them.
Like
they all push the plunger down at the same time.
No.
Like Roger with Texas State.
No. I don't want to put that burden on them.
All right, Gordo, you've had 4 hours to think about this.
Okay. This is what I would do. I would wake up, and I'd lay around in bed looking at the ceiling, just full of disappointment in my life as I reviewed my life. I think that I would... spend the last day frantically destroying evidence that I was ever on the earth.
Your hard drive, everything.
Hard drive, my old journals, anything I ever wrote or created or painted.
A mountain of fire.
Yes, I want no record that I was ever on the earth.
That'd be very difficult.
That's weird.
To do.
Why?
I don't know.
You want to leave a mark?
I guess.
Man, I'd leave all that behind and let whoever wants it
maybe
do whatever.
Skid mark on your way out.
What?
Skid mark.
He's saying it's better to burn out than to fade away.
Right.
That's what Neil Young said.
It's like, I don't know. It just seems weird to me seeing someone's possessions that has passed away.
He also told us Russ never sleeps, and it does.
I don't know about that.
It does.
What, rust? Or
yeah, I don't think it ever sleeps.
Okay.
I think so, it does.
So anyway, anyway, then about, so I'm scheduled at 3, right? I think about 2:15 when I'm getting ready to go to the clinic. I'll go to the most remote corner of my garage.
You're not going to listen to our show one more time?
No. And I'd hit the iPod and play the first few notes of Round Here from Counting Crows August and Everything After
All
album.
Right, yes. Uh-oh,
and I'd wait till they get about into the end of the second verse, and I'd pull out a gun, and I'd do the deed.
Oh, my gosh.
And I missed my appointment.
The clinic will do it for you.
That would be a good
but
way for him to go out,
but it's a final act of control.
Okay, okay.
Finally, people waiting on Gordo going, well, he's supposed to be here at 3. You know,
that actually is perfect. Like,
perfect.
Yeah.
They're hungry, you know.
Once again,
like,
where's Gordo?
Yeah.
We all found him in the corner of his garage with a bullet hole and a can of whipped cream upturned in an IV fashion.
That is actually perfect.
Yeah.
Or he's got like 4 meals from whatever restaurant.
Yeah,
like
all about half eaten.
Or 3 bites from each.
Mm-hmm. 4 meals from Jack's Cafe.
And then 6 desserts.
Yeah.
But they're all eaten. There's just like a little bit of whipped cream.
Yeah,
and
they're plowed through looking like a raccoon.
Like pie crust.
And then I would have a bunch of forms. They all said, I'm sorry, in my handwriting. Uh-huh. But they were clearly all, you know, Xeroxed. And I'd just fill in names at the top of them on each one of them. Yeah.
Okay, Michael?
I don't know. I've never really given this that much thought, but we did have something interesting come up on the Deep Night ticket last night.
Related to this?
Kind of.
Okay.
What would you rather know? How you're going to go or when you're going to go?
Easy.
When.
When is absolutely the most useful information.
Yes. You can plan out your whole life.
How you're going to go is just going to be torture for you.
Because you never know
because
when.
Because you don't know when that's going to be. If it says auto accident.
Yeah, but if like, you know how, then, you know, whenever you're wandering a little bit close to that edge, you're aware of it.
But you can't prevent it.
Death by pig, you don't know when it's going to happen.
You can't prevent it for sure. I think I'd rather take how.
Oh, you're nuts.
No.
Yeah.
Because
I'd rather take how.
If you solve the question of how, that makes planning your life so much easier. I mean, when you learn the when, so much easier. Because if you find out, hey, it's going to be 2 years from now, it's like, go straight to HR to say, hey, that 15% you're holding back? Nah.
Right.
No, none of this 401k business.
I want it all.
It has its merits.
It has so many more merits than the how.
Yeah, but I'm more curious about the how.
Yeah, but if you don't want
odds
that...
Odds are the how is going to be pretty simple.
Or is it?
Well...
You will walk around in paranoia if you see by bow and arrow. And you just wonder when that's going to happen.
All you can do, I mean, if you know that, then you can stay away from bow and arrow.
You can't
stay away from it because you can't stop the inevitable.
And what if you learn death by axe murderer? You're going to live in terror for the rest of your life knowing that's going to be your end.
Right, and you don't know when.
Any time.
You don't know when. Or what if it's death by bow and arrow, and so you remain far away from any Native Americans, so we have to split up, by the way. And then, but like you go to 7-Eleven one day, and there's Norm sitting there in like a full Indian headdress, just like waiting for you. Or that's all you see. Or
all
people.
Right, if I see Adios. Norm in a full Indian get up with bow and arrow, then I'm turning around and getting out of there.
Yeah, but.
He'll shoot you in the back.
Yeah. That's it. You know that when you see him, though, you're like, here we go.
All right. I think I'll be able to get away from it, though, without him seeing me.
No. That's the point of it. You can't. That's the point. You can't.
All right, Corby, your last day.
I think it would involve, if I've already said goodbye to everyone, I think it would involve. Do I get to watch porn? Travel? Can I go somewhere?
If you can and get back to the clinic in a day or in a few hours.
Yeah, I think I would go to, I think I would be by a mountain with dogs.
Okay.
Preferably my own.
Yeah, I forgot about my old doggies.
Yeah, just hanging out with the dogs and playing with the dogs.
So you can put a bullet in their head before you go?
Hey. No, I wouldn't kill them. I would not kill them, but I think... in the end, like, they make me happier than people.
Oh, no.
I'll be your sponsor.
So
try to work through this.
Yeah, so I think I would play with them. And I definitely would have music in some form, whether it was on a speaker or can I hire a band?
Sure.
Is that legal?
Would you hire 97s
come Pearl Jam?
Yeah, like hire Pearl Jam to just kind of serenade me before I go into the clinic.
Hey, guys.
What about you, Junior?
All right, I would sleep in a little since for most of our lives we haven't been able to sleep in. So I'd probably sleep till 7 or 8 at least.
Yeah, I'd sleep till 8.
I'd get up. I would make a great cup of coffee or pot of coffee. And I would want a view like you. I would hope I were somewhere where I could look at a mountain or a nice view, the ocean, whatever. And I would not open my laptop. I wouldn't check sports scores or news headlines. I'd just get out there. I don't want to be current.
You don't want to read that last Ranger box
score? No, I don't want to read that. And I'll just sit out there for about 2 hours, taking in the view, drinking coffee, eating a little something, a good breakfast, whatever my favorite breakfast is. Then I would go for a bike ride. I don't know how long that'll be at age 95.
Like a foot.
If it may be a two-minute bike ride, but I want to do that one more time.
And ride off the cliff?
If I could, but I probably wouldn't be able to.
It's got
to
go to the clinic.
Then I would want to watch a compilation of the things that have entertained me the most over the years. I'd want to watch all the great OU plays over the years, the Spurs plays, the Ranger, whatever gave me pleasure, great highlights from the tour over the years.
Game 6?
Maybe not game 6. And then I'd want to see like little my favorite clips from my favorite movies. I'd want all of that. I'd take all of that in, and then I would report to the clinic. And then I would want to listen to probably side one of the Joshua Tree and then start maniacally laughing and screaming as they inject me.
As it starts flowing. Ice water starts flowing.
And screaming.
Yes.
Is that going to be your greatest regret before you die that the Rangers have not won the World Series?
Who are you talking to? Listening on radio.
Mike Reiner.
Still time.
I know, but I mean, let's assume that it's not going to happen because it's probably not. So when you go to your grave thinking that, my God, it never happened.
Yeah, that would be a bummer. That would be a bummer, but
it's going to happen.
All that said, in a perverse way, I still love Game 6.
Oh, no. Gosh. Oh, no.
I do, because it was just so much fun to watch.
Oh.
Wait, so we go to the clinic at 3 p.m., right?
Yeah, that's when it's injected. You go at 2:30 for prep.
Okay. So I'd probably wake up at like...
What kind of prep do you get?
5 a.m. and start watching the O.J. trial again until I had to
finish up. God, what a waste. That is clinic. What you would do.
You probably would.
The O.J. trial.
All right, would you bathe one JFK last time footage? In Lee Harvey's bathtub?
I've never bathed in Lee Harvey's bathtub.
That's what you say.
All right, thanks, guys.
A lot of people think different.
Awesome. I know.
A lot of people know different.
What?
Nothing.
All right, we'll see if we can find Donnie next. Well, the Woodford Reserve compound rolls on all the way through the hard line tonight at this very remote location.
Oh, no, Gordon.
And it's time. Oh, gosh, it's Gordo's song. It's time to hand it off to Donnie. Give him
some
crosstalk
room.
Is brought to us by Funjet Playa Vacations and Crest Volvo. What a great song this is. Let's crank it up here.
She's dying.
Search the
can
of whipped cream now.
Alternating between a can of whipped cream and a fifth of Woodford Reserve.
Can I picture you like being real shaky? kind of put the whipped cream down. No, it's time.
Okay.
There's the revolver.
So basically my final moments are going to be all my 20s, which is me listening to this, being impaired and having a gun ready to be called into service at any moment.
Yes, it reminds you of your youth.
Hmm.
Makes you happy.
Yeah. Hey, it's the first time we've seen Donnie do this morning.
Good morning.
How are we feeling?
I'm all right, man. How are you?
Good.
Does that sound rough?
Oh, you sound good.
A little bit.
That tuba and air horn is the most jarring thing in the history of mankind.
Dude, it's unreal.
Like, it will make you stand up out of a complete sleep.
when that thing starts going
like
off.
I told Craig that it's the closest thing that I've ever felt to being in the military.
Seriously. Like, you wake up and start marching in place, yeah, looking around like, what the hell is happening here?
Well, I'm starting to think of it. It's not serving its intended purpose. We were trying to wake you guys up gently with song, as opposed to the harsh rapping on the door.
Yeah.
Was there some form of the national anthem going on afterwards?
It sounded like Fred Schneider singing the national anthem to a tuba.
I don't know. We would have to listen back to it.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I don't really know.
Nobody really knows.
I must have missed that. I was out practicing archery right around that.
Man.
See,
we've had all sorts of signs of the end here for at least two people.
That'd be so cool if you were just a badass archer.
What are you guys doing today?
I want you guys' opinion on something.
All right.
I want you to look
is
at Junior.
Is this ball hanging more than this one?
No.
Yes. Yes, it is.
What a weird question.
I want you to look at Junior and tell me if you see any of the same thing I see about who he reminds you of.
Uh-oh.
Does he remind you at all of Anthony Bourdain?
Yes. People have said that over and over again.
Have they?
He gets that
thing. Yeah, I get that all the time.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
I get that and Brad Pitt all the time.
There you go.
Anthony Bourdain is way more threatening looking than you. Like, I feel that he's intimidating.
But once again, happy birthday, Craig.
Yeah. Craig's not intimidating.
I've never seen him as intimidating.
Yeah, Anthony Bourdain doesn't look like a wuss. So, I mean, there are differences.
He's just so food intensive and travel bully, and I don't know.
He's
food
intensive.
Yeah, I don't see you that
way.
Yeah,
he's got more of an aggressive personality.
He did all that cocaine.
Yeah, he lived hard in his youth. And
I don't see you that way.
That's a good idea for the last day on Earth.
Do cocaine?
Would you do drugs that you've not experienced before? Well, I don't know how many.
No.
See, I would be curious to find out what.
So how hard would you go? Would you go like meth?
No.
Straight to heroin.
I wouldn't do any of that.
Yes.
I don't want it to go wrong.
I want to create as many dragons to chase on my final day.
Like, yeah, like.
As I can.
Like crack or meth.
No way.
I would love to do coke, X. What else would I want to do?
Acid. So
you want, can I fit in an acid trip in there?
You don't want to be conscious for your last day on Earth?
Yeah.
Why do you want to be all affected?
And what if you have a bad reaction to it?
Because I've had enough of not being affected.
Well, no. If you have a bad reaction to it where it just puts you in a coma funk for your last day and you miss out on your last day,
but it would be great to be all coked up, though, on your last day.
Yeah, and then like you have this feeling like I'm going to live forever.
Yes. You have the feeling of such vitality right before your life is snuffed out.
I'll pass.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'll pass too.
It's not perfect.
There are so many old people that do cocaine right before they die.
I think they
should offer that at that clinic, at the life cycle death clinic.
But you don't have to. You don't need to snort it. Like, you inject it. Better that way.
But the snorting it. I like the pageantry of that. I mean,
go ahead and do it.
It's the ritual. What?
Your big play that you do about snorting cocaine.
Get this down. Man. Cut it this up. Get this nice. Oh, that's a nice rail right there. Oh, God! Yeah! Yeah! I'm going to live forever!
Wow.
And then the nurse practitioner lowers a gun and blows your head off.
I don't like the way you speak to your cocaine.
I told you it's a great play.
He puts so much effort into those productions.
He's a method actor, and I really appreciate it.
He's a great actor.
That's great. Well, more from Gordon Keith. More cocaine talk.
Heard you got him on the show today, right off the top.
Yes, I've been booked for the Normandy invasion.
All right.
Yes. And my Morgan stuff.
That's a good rail.
All right, you guys have fun.
Thank
you. You're a pretty little rail.
That's so Norm.
Why are you looking at me that way?
That's Norm and Donnie. They're next. Thanks to our crew, Big Strong Jeremy. And Killer produced us and engineered us today.
What?
Yeah. He sure did.
Unfortunately.
Sean Bass doing those ticket tickers for the great Gordo and Junior Miller. I'm Giorgio. We'll talk to you again at some point today from the compound on the ticket.
Come here.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
He's so white.
Oh.